King Runild had decided that the Gulf of Dolar, Hanky Sound, and Silkia Bay ought to be closed waters. He'd started out by levying tolls on anyone passing east of the Dolar Bank and its cluster of islands. Then he'd started pushing his area of operations farther west. Eventually, he'd extended his protected area as far as Whale Island, over 1,000 miles from his own coastline. Claiming to exert some sort of police power over a stretch of salt water that vast was not only unheard of, it was ridiculous. Karis, for example, like virtually every other maritime power on the planet, hewed to the older rule which held that a nation could claim sovereignty only over waters in which it could, and did, exercise an effective control. That didn't mean just extorting money out of passing merchant ships, either. It meant dealing with pirates, preventing acts of war by other naval powers, buoying and marking navigational hazards, updating charts, and generally making the children behave. Which, in turn, meant for all practical purposes that territorial waters were those which lay within long cannon shot of its coastline, which was generally agreed to be about 3 miles. Actually, even the 3-mile limit was being overly generous, as everyone understood perfectly well. And it was worth noting that somehow ships of the Harchong Empire had ended up exempt from King Runild's passage fees. Abner and Willem Reyner hadn't seen any reason why they should pour their hard-earned golden marks into Ronald's pockets either, especially since it was obvious the entire passage fee demand was intended solely to bar non-Dalaran merchant ships from the waters Ronald IV regarded as his. No one in Karis knew exactly what had happened that afternoon in the waters between Hanky Sound and Silkia Bay. The one thing they did know was that the galleon Reyner's Pride had been fired into, boarded, and then sunk by the Dolaran Navy. Neither Ekel's father nor his uncle had survived the experience, and only 2 of their crewmen had ever made it home again. There was a reason Ekel's Reyner had been less surprised than most when Ronild allied himself so eagerly with Hector of Coruscant, despite the fact that Dolar and Coruscant were damned nearly on opposite sides of the world from one another. And, truth be told, it wasn't just the profit which had attracted Blade and her consorts to Dolaran waters, either. He looked back across at the lumbering Dolaran galleon. He could see why it was operating in the Gulf. One look at real blue water would probably have frightened the clumsy, high-sided, lubberly jokes crew to death. Fortunately, whatever the Church, or for that matter, Ronild of Dolar, might think about Karis, the Imperial Governor of Shui Province appeared to understand that Carisian marks spent just as well as anyone else's. At the moment, he was doing quite well for himself, in a quiet sort of way, by allowing Reyner and his partners to dispose of prize ships and seized cargoes to Harchungese merchants at Yushai on Shui Bay. How long that would last was anyone's guess, but for the moment at least, Reyner didn't have to worry about getting his captures all the way home to Karis. This particular galleon seemed more stubborn than most, Reyner reflected. Her master was continuing mulishly on his course rather than accepting the inevitable. He'd clapped on all the sail he had, which wasn't all that impressive to someone who'd seen the sail plans of Carisian galleons, and he was plodding along as if he actually thought he could evade the sleek, low-slung schooner.
"Well, he's about to find out better," Reyner thought.
"Keep that damn fool's head below the bulwarks!" Captain Gregair McGee snarled.
The offending soldier ducked hastily back into concealment, and McGee grunted in irate satisfaction. Then he turned his attention back to the Carisian vessel bearing down upon Guardian.
"Funny," he thought. "This all seemed like a much better idea when they were explaining it to me back in Goreth Bay. Now I'm wondering what idiot thought it up." course, if anybody in the damn Navy actually knew his arse from his elbow, we wouldn't have landed in this mess in the first place.
Do you think he'll fire into us, or put a shot across our bow, sir?
Ira Sinclair, his first officer, asked quietly.
How the hell do I know?
McGee responded grumpily. It was a good question, though, he had to admit.
We'll find out when we find out, I suppose, he added.
Which, unless I miss my guess, is going to happen very soon now.